Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I've often said this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but the issue of origins is not just an apologetic issue, it is the apologetic issue. I remember when I was 14 years of age, my parents purchased an encyclopedia set. It was called The Book of Knowledge. And in it, I discovered an evolutionary paradigm that dispensed with the need for a rational creator who ordered the cosmos in accordance with his nature. In place of a creator, the Book of Knowledge posited chance. And it wasn't until I was 29 years of age that I realized that that kind of reasoning is a departure from knowledge into a very dangerous world of anti-knowledge. Reason without revelation led scientists to postulate that blacks are inferior to whites, women inferior to men. Never reason informed by revelation. As God's book of knowledge reveals, we are created in the image of God, and that makes all the difference in the world. The image of God ensures that a Down syndrome child is afforded the same dignity given a distinguished scientist. But for neo-Darwinians like Richard Dawkins, the image of God is little more than troublesome myth. And therefore, a human being, in their view, has no more intrinsic value than a banana. Nor is humanity the crowning jewel of God's creation. In time, a far more sophisticated life form will supplant humankind, courtesy of the evolutionary paradigm. As hippos transitioned into whales, humans will inevitably transition into whatever. The fact that there is scant fossil evidence for this fundamentalist fervor seems of little consequence, nor is molecular evidence to the contrary. His mind being darkened, Dawkins blindly swallows an ocean. Skin becomes impermeable to water. Eye protection mechanisms appear like magic, as do changes in the brain, diving and emerging mechanisms, a respiratory system that prevents the bends, lactation system, sonar, and so on. Indeed, Dawkins, enamored by reason without revelation, has long ago departed the world of science and waded into an illusory land of science fiction. And I think that you and I need to expose this illusory land of science fiction. We should demonstrate that evolution is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. And to do that, I have developed all kinds of resources, including a resource available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute called the Creation Answer Book. I'd be pleased to send you one for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI will go right to your calls. First up, Jeanette. She's listening in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Jeanette.
Yes, hello, how are you? Thanks for accepting my call.
You're welcome.
I have a friend, she overheard some type of discussion, And so she had a concern about that discussion. And what she did, she wrote a letter and she made a copy of the letter and she dispersed this to several different people. And she basically let us know, well, this is going to be read and I want you all to follow through as it's being read. And 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be read in its entirety or to predict the accurate truth in regards to it. So she, and sure enough, the person read her letter. As a matter of fact, it was on your program. You read her letter. Her name is Brenda. And she wrote to you and stated that she heard your program in regards to the Hebrew Israelites being the chosen people of, well, what she called Yah. And what had kind of disturbed her was that when the letter was read, it was not read in its entirety. And there were certain vitally important truths that she wanted manifested or something like that. And she was a little offended by that because she was only trying to speak truths, but it's amazing how accurate she was. But the thing is, what my concern was, is why wasn't her letter read in its entirety so that vitally important scriptures could be made known that would be evident to prove those facts?
Well, let me answer that question quickly. First of all, I did and always do present things in their context. If I would have read every jot and tittle of the letter, it would have taken virtually the entire broadcast itself. I did not take anything that she said out of context. I presented it precisely and completely in its context. And I stand by what I said and read from her letter. She, in fact, communicated concepts that are decidedly racist. There's no question about that whatsoever. And I gave a tremendous amount of attention to this because racism comes in many forms. Caucasians have used Genesis chapter 9 as a pretext for enslaving blacks. And this idea that she was communicating that I talked about on the air, and again, I read her letter in context, is very racist. And I think that this racism should be exposed in whatever form it is presented. It is never a notion that should in any way be commended. It should always be denounced because God does.
But if it's scriptural.
It is not scriptural. It is not scriptural to promote racism in any form whatsoever.
The Bible is the Bible. Either it's the Bible or it's not.
To say that only the Negro, and these are her words, not mine, could be the true chosen people of Yah is simply false. And for her to say that it is imperative that I proclaim that truth or I will be guilty of lies based on Revelation 2, Revelation 21, and James 4 is absurd. And to say that now her hands are clean and her blood delivered of mistruths and deceits, to Yah be the glory, in Yahshua's name, Haya, Haya, the Hebrew Torah is where truth is uncompromisingly found, this is absurd as a pretext for supporting racism. And I'm going to have the exact kind.
She has Caucasian friends.
It doesn't matter, but she is overtly stating that the Bible is saying that only the Negro could be the true Hebrew Israelite chosen people of Yah. That is exactly what she wrote. And that is false. The chosen people of God are from every tongue and language, from every people and nation throughout the earth. Abraham was the father of many nations. In fact, that is precisely what his name means, through whom all the people of the world will be blessed. And the very passage that she quoted in Acts 10:34 is a passage by which she said something very false. First of all, she gave a wrong author to that passage. Secondly, that passage was not intended to in any way promote racism, precisely the opposite. That passage was intended to communicate that God does not show favoritism. And when Peter was not willing to go to Cornelius, God had to arrest him with a vision so that he could know the truth. The bottom line is racism has no place on this broadcast, in letters, in America, in any place. Racism is not something that is consistent with a Christian worldview. At the foot of the cross, if you can look at another person and make distinctions based on their hair color or their skin color or their eye color or anything else, you haven't been to the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, there is no distinction. We are ontologically equal. In Christ, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female. We are equal in the eyes of God. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Are you searching for answers? Look no further. Introducing the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and expanded in 2024 by Hank Hanegraaff, the ultimate equipping resource. With over 210 expertly researched questions and answers, this book provides comprehensive answers to your most challenging questions. Whether you're a seasoned theologian or just beginning your spiritual journey, the Complete Bible Answer Book has something for everyone. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. www.thewordofgod.org. Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone lines. Next up is Natalie. She's listening in Alaska on the web. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much. I have just really quickly a couple of things. One, my 7-year-old son, or my family, we love you. We all listen to you, except we're still praying for my husband. But my 7-year-old has a question for you.
Okay.
And then very quickly, when he's finished with his question, he just wants to demonstrate something for you very quickly.
Okay, great.
Hey, Hank.
Hi.
Mr. Hank.
How's Alaska?
Good.
I was there a few years ago. That's beautiful.
How old is the Earth?
Well, the universe is very, very old.
Oh. I have a scripture for you.
Okay.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquities, and sin me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and sins are ever before me. Against you, you only have my sin, and done what is evil in your sight. For you might be justified when you speak, and clear when you judge.
And you know the rest of it, or you'll be.
That's great.
Okay. Yeah, I'd just like you to know you really inspired us.
That is great.
Really amazing. Quickly they pick it up, and we really appreciate your message.
Thank you so much, Natalie. I appreciate your call. You made my day.
Yes, thank you so much.
God bless you and your wonderful son. Well, the universe is thought to be 13.7 billion years old at present, and the Earth about 4.5 billion years old. But we know that it is certainly old, and there are a lot of ways in which we can determine that the universe itself is old. There are a lot of indications with respect to the age of the universe, and I've written about that in a number of different places, including the Creation Answer Book, the reality, for example, that nothing travels faster than the speed of light, and that billions of light years separate us from distant galaxies leads logically, I think, to the assumption that the age of the universe is measured in billions rather than measured in thousands of years. I've also considered star life to be a very persuasive argument for a universe measured in billions of years, because star life depends on star mass. And a star like the sun has about enough fuel to burn for 9 billion years. And as such, the universe is presumed to be at least as old as the oldest stars within it. And so, while biological history can be a matter of inference, astronomical history is a function of direct observation. In other words, star formation can be observed in all of its stages. There are many other tremendous arguments that could be used in this respect. I oftentimes point to supernova 1987A. And this is a very significant illustration. In fact, I actually used this illustration when I was in Alaska a number of years ago on a cruise when I was teaching on this subject. Prior to 1987, this supernova was a star in a distant galaxy. The galaxy was 168,000 light years away. But in 1987, the star explodes and becomes a supernova. In other words, 168,000 years ago, the star explodes, and in 1987, the light of that event finally reaches Earth. Unless, of course, God created the universe 6,000 years ago. Then the supernova might be likened to a documentary film of an event that never really happened. The notion that the universe is not authentically old, but merely appears to be old, as some have suggested, of course, creates far more conundrums than it solves. What good teacher would ask students to put faith in a textbook that is intentionally filled with lies? There's a basic assumption in science, and that is that processes operating in the present are identical to processes operating in the past. And this is the very argument that young Earth creationists use to actually contend for the notion that the law of entropy might not have operated in the past. They use this as a very powerful argument against evolutionists in this sense, and I think the argument applies just as readily to the notion that some young Earth creationists have posited, that you can't really say that the speed of light and so forth was the same in the past as it is in the present. Again, I've written about this in the Creation Answer book. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Brendan in Kearney, Nebraska. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing all right. I had a question. I was watching a preacher online, and he was basically saying that children of a certain age that aren't yet old enough to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with their mouth, that they're doomed to go to hell. And I can't even begin to wrap my brain around that one, but I didn't really know what to say scripturally against it, so I didn't know what you thought about it.
Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think that that is true, but certainly it is true that there are Christian theologians that have argued this way. I think that there are many other paradigms that are biblically more satisfying than that paradigm, and I would have a hard time wrapping my brain around it as well.
Scripturally, is there anything that, I mean, to say like an age of innocence sort of thing, or, I mean, I guess I was talking to my pastor about it, and we just both kind of came to the same conclusion that it's like, well, it doesn't really talk much about a child before they're even able to accept Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I would do. Number one, I would leave that person in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. That is the first thing that I would do. So even questions that the Bible does not shout at, I would then look at the nature of God in order to answer a question like that. So God is not looking for technicalities to keep people out of the kingdom. He has done all that one could possibly imagine so that people might enter into the kingdom. So with respect to the age of accountability, I think that it is clearly something that we want to leave in the hands of an infinitely merciful and infinitely just God.
I also had a question. What's your views on the doctrine of election? I heard something on the radio, and this guy has been talking about it for a week, and I just basically saying that if you're a Christian, you're predestined from God to become a Christian, and then obviously the verse would be true that if you're not a Christian, going to hell, then that's also determined by God. What's your views on that?
Well, there are those that say that God creates people who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. In other words, he creates everyone in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel and only regenerates the elect, and therefore the elect not only can but must respond to the gospel. Again, as I've said on this broadcast many times, I do not agree with that position. I believe that biblically Christ is the elect one. And that is the emphasis that is placed on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. I think Christ, biblically, is the elect one, and we are elect by virtue of being found in Christ. But I do not hold to what is called compatibilistic or circumstantial freedom. I hold to libertarian freedom. The notion of circumstantial freedom is that God creates people in such a way, again, that they cannot respond to his goodness and his grace. They cannot hear the gospel. They don't have ears to hear, and thus they cannot respond any more than a cow can fly. They simply don't have the wherewithal to respond to the gospel, and he only reprograms or regenerates some so that they can respond to the gospel, and those are the elect. This is a system, as I've said on the broadcast before, that I grew up in. My dad taught this. It is a system that is taught within the pale of Orthodoxy, but it is a system that I simply do not agree with. Because the logical extension, by the way, of this idea is that God is the author of evil. And I think that the notion communicated in Scripture is not that God is the author of evil, but that God created the potential for evil and human beings actualized that evil. There are many within the Christian church that would argue that God really is the author of evil. R.C. Sproul, for example, says God wills all things that come to pass. God desired for man to fall into sin. I am not accusing God of sinning. I am suggesting that God created sin. And again, I would disagree with that respectfully, although I do respect those that within the system of theology are candid enough to overtly communicate the logical implications of this system of thought. But this is one of those things that we have debated in collegial fashion in the Christian Research Journal with a Calvinist and a non-Calvinist debating this subject. And those debates are available in a written format through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find them on the web at equip.org. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.